It is a very sad tale that's been told in Coronation Street about childhood cancer. I want to speak to Tracy McGeehan, who's available to speak to us. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning.
Tracy, you're a mum and you know what the storyline will be about in terms of the real world. And this will be difficult for many people to watch in Coronation Street, but it is a reminder of the real world.
It definitely is. It's probably not something I really could watch, and I count myself as quite a strong person, but it does bring you right back to the beginning and all those thoughts and, you know, everything that you've went through. Even, you know, we are lucky. We're lucky still to have Cassie, but all those feelings are still raw. We're 5 years on, but, you know, when you watch something like that, it takes you back to day one.
Yes, tell me about Cathy's story.
In 2010, Cassie was, well, she was just a bubbly wee one-year-old bouncing about. She was, to us, perfect, but in the morning, Cassie was just having this vomit and going about then the rest of the day, fine. But as a couple of weeks went on, we were really worried about this. And brain tumour or cancer never come into our mind. You know, we thought it was something she might be have an allergy to, but the reality for us was then that she was diagnosed with a brain tumour. And to use the words of the surgeon, she had the nasty of the nasties. She was diagnosed with ATRT and was given 4 to 6 months to live. That was probably the hardest thing I ever had to do, to come home and to tell my family. And obviously we had two other girls, but we didn't tell them, but we just told them that she was very, very sick. The day she went into hospital, they didn't see her for a couple of months, obviously with treatment and that. And this particular week, 5 years ago, my second girl was starting school. And like this week, our eldest girl's getting into secondary school, and we're all with total different emotions. You know, we're going about and worried about, will she settle in? But 5 years ago, when Cara was starting school, we couldn't even think of that. She just had to go on because Cassie was sick. We didn't think we were going to have very long with her. That was a different fear that we had. The reality of, you know, were they right? How would she cope with this treatment? And was there a treatment for her? And really what they did with her, they basically, again, to go to the doctor, we'll have to just throw everything in the bucket and give it to her. She had chemo. She had a year of chemo. Then that followed with a stem cell bone marrow transplant replacement. And for that, she had to be in isolation. For myself and her, we're in isolation for just over a month. And again, I saw my other two girls via Skype. They saw Cassie via Skype, which the youngest one couldn't cope with because she had obviously had feeding tubes and that, so she didn't even want to look at her. She was afraid. Our house went into complete lockdown because although we were told that she only had 4 to 6 months, we didn't want to believe that. We thought we had our bit to do. We had to keep her free from other, like, colds and flus, and we had to give her the opportunity to fight the bigger thing. And if she was fit enough to get the treatment, that's what we were happy we were doing our part. So our house went into complete lockdown. And I know one thing that sticks in my mind is our two older girls were so happy we were coming home from hospital. But then Kevin had said to me, you know, one of them's got the cold. So, of course, we had to ship them out of the house, off for sleepover again. And they were devastated because they thought we were coming home, but actually we came home, but they couldn't be here because we couldn't risk Cassie getting an infection.
It's incredible what you've been through, what your family's been through, and it mirrors what other families are facing up to. Now, you will find it difficult to watch the storyline on TV, but sometimes a popular soap dealing with a real issue is a timely reminder of what those of us who are lucky enough to be in families that don't have a medical challenge ignore. We ignore your dilemma and your problem, and I suppose that's understandable, but it must be incredibly difficult for you as a family or any other family on a daily basis to meet the challenges.
It is, and you can understand now, looking back, the ignorance that there is from people. thankfully, that haven't had to deal with it. And, you know, that the way that they will put it, hopefully the way they put it across is accurate, because it'll highlight, you know, and no one knows. We didn't know. We would have been asking, you know, you're lucky if you've got a great network of family and friends, and, of course, the charity that we had, Cancer Fund for Children, were fantastic for us. But if you didn't have that, you know, it's hard to see how you would cope, because whenever people don't know what you're coping with or what you're going through, they come at you with the questions, and questions you don't really need. You know, you've millions of them in your own head to try and get your head around how this could happen to you and how you're going to come around and get out the other side. Is your child going to live? You know, what way will it be after if they do get through? Because there's so many different sides of it. It's not just, you know, and some people say, oh, isn't she great now that she's, you know, she's healthy? But they don't see, and we don't talk about it, because we're just happy she's not dealing with the things she was dealing with back then. And, you know, there's an awful lot of after effects of cancer, as well as actually, you know, once people have come over the actual, I suppose, tumour or leukaemia or whatever it is, you know, that's had to get treated for, there's a lot of after effects that people aren't aware of, you know, and only, you know, you have support and you have, you know, the likes of the charities. I said, we were in lockdown. The only escape we had was, the first escape that we had as a family was out to, with Shimna Valley then, it's now Daisy Lodge. We got out there and it was such a relief. And it's awful to say, to get away from, you know, the people's kindness. They nearly kill you with kindness. And, you know, everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to do their bit for you. But, you know, really sometimes you have to, it's hard to stay focused on what it is you're dealing with and what you're coping with. You know, but there's no two children are going to deal with a diagnosis the same.
It is good to know that the Cancer Fund for Children provide that service at Daisy Lodge. Tracy, stay with me there for a second. I want to speak to Liz Osborne, who's the Director of Services there. Liz, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Tracy.
Tracy's story, indeed, is, I suppose, a story that you come across regularly at the facility and the service that you provide.
Absolutely, Frank. I mean, we actually provide a range of services across the whole province, and as well as Daisy Lodge that Tracy mentioned. So, I mean, every week in Northern Ireland there are three more families hearing the devastating news that their child has cancer, and we support families with children from babies right up to 24. So we cover quite a large range of ages, and we support those families, all of them, the children, the young people, the siblings, as well as the parents. We recognise, and when Tracy was speaking, it just resonated with me, you know, when she talked about the relief she felt at Daisy Lodge. And really, it is so true that when families are going through, the treatment programme can last 2 to 3 years. It's grueling, it's devastating, it's worrying, and it assaults all the senses. So the family is physically, mentally and emotionally exhausted. And really, sometimes when you ask a family how they got through it, they'll say, well, they had no choice. But at least when we're there for them, both in their home and in the community, we can help bolster them, Frank, through that treatment, through all of that journey, which is a journey none of them wanted to take, none of them wanted to experience. And in that sense, we can help, hopefully, certainly in Daisy Lodge, which is our short break therapeutic centre, we can help them rest, we can help them recuperate, ready for the next stage. Because really, as Tracy also said, it's something that you don't take for granted anymore. And for the family, it is, it's an uphill struggle. And that's why they need that ongoing support. And we recognise that. And she also said, which is also very true, every family is unique. We actually have our team of community specialists who, once the diagnosis is made and the family's dealing with that shock, we can go out to the family home. We can meet with the parents, sometimes the child is obviously in hospital and treatment, but we can support the parents, we can support the siblings, and we can support the sick child whenever they're in the home as well. And that happens weekly or fortnightly, because it's not enough to have a therapeutic short break, which may happen every few months. We know the anxieties that are ongoing in the family's life every day, every minute of the day in some cases.
And do you welcome the idea of Coronation Street, a popular soap opera, including this as a theme?
Well, you know, some people don't even know that childhood cancer exists. And yes, certainly during the month of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, which is all the month of September, we'll be raising the awareness. And, you know, it surprises us, but of course we're in the thick of it. It's in our lives every day, because we're working with families. But for a lot of the general public, they're not aware that how childhood cancer happens, how devastating it is, and the toll it takes on family life. So yes, I think even though the story is going to be painful, it's going to be hard for families who've been through it, because it'll bring back a lot of their experience. They'll be able to touch on that, and it'll provide those triggers for them. And that will be hard, but it will also highlight the difficulties and the challenges that families face during that experience.
The Cancer Fund for Children has been very much in, I suppose, the news recently because of Rory McIlroy's association with it. He's been very generous towards it. The ongoing work of that facility that is provided at Shimna Valley, and other facilities that are provided by other cancer charities as well, they're just simply essential in this part of the world.
Definitely. There is no doubt about it. I mean, and certainly Daisy Lodge as a therapeutic short break centre is pretty unique in Ireland and indeed in Europe, because it's the only facility that we're aware of that provides that holistic support for families. We provide complementary therapies. We provide group work for the children, we provide restorative work for the parents, as well as the fact that they can meet other families in the same situation and derive some peer support. Because once that diagnosis happens, families can feel very isolated. And Tracy used the word lockdown, and I can understand that, because of that fear of the child or the other children or family or friends bringing an infection into the family home. And certainly for them to know that there's a place where they can feel safe, where they know that we understand their needs during that time, and also to bring them together with other families, they recognise then that they're not alone. Yes, they're all very different, but they have something in common, something terrible in common, but also they can see their children play with other children. They can see that there's still a life beyond the cancer, and that's really what we're about. We're beyond the essential medical care, and we recognise there's a family life that needs nurtured and rebuilt, and that'll take time and that takes years, and we're there for them.
Liz, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Liz Osborne, Director of Services for the Cancer Fund for Children. And Tracy, thanks very much for what has been a very moving commentary on what you've been through over the last 5 years. And how is wee Cassie this morning?
Cassie is away to school, loves school, was counting sleeps from about 29, couldn't wait to get back to school.
Good stuff.
You know, we'll be quite tired, but that's not the normal, but she just loves, for such a child that loves life, she just is, probably because she was quite young when it all happened, she just took everything for granted, you know, or she didn't take it for granted, you know, everything that was normal for her. Hospital was normal for her, and the fact that, you know, there was one time we pulled up at the hospital for her to get her treatment, and she just was in the back of the car, and she went home, you know, things like that, you know, that you just, they stay in your mind. But, you know, thankfully she was able to cope with that, and she's, there's lots of things to say you don't talk about, because it's part and parcel, but we still have her, and we're still, thankfully, a good family unit. And, you know, again, that's with all the support that we have received, and we're very, very grateful for it.
Tracy, thanks very much for speaking to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
That's Tracy McGeehan, obviously a mum who's walked the walk, and Liz Osborne from the Cancer Fund for Children. This month is really highlighting the issues about children's cancer, and it is a theme running on Coronation Street, which of course you can see on UTV, a very moving theme as well, and there's no doubt that the producers there will handle it sensitively. Jacqueline is on this line. We're talking about Childhood Cancer Awareness Month and the theme that's running through Coronation Street. You've been hearing indeed about the charities that are very much to the fore at the moment, and the great work that is being done, particularly putting the emphasis a short time ago on Daisy Lodge. And just, it is an amazing place. If you've ever had the, I suppose, the privilege of calling by there, it is an incredibly wonderful, wonderful place. And Jacqueline has a point to make on the back of the conversation we've just been having about the Cancer Fund for Children. Jacqueline, go ahead.
I would just like to say that there's only one place in Northern Ireland that children can actually be treated for their cancer, and that's at the Royal Victoria Hospital for Sick Children. And the Children's Cancer Unit charity actually built the 8-bedded unit that the children are treated in 28 years ago. And we don't have enough beds and we don't have isolation rooms. So at the moment we're trying to raise £800,000 to build the two new isolation rooms, so that our children can be sent home from the likes of Bristol and Birmingham, where they receive their treatment, and actually be at home in the isolation rooms rather than being away.
And this is an ongoing project that you're involved in?
It is an ongoing project. We started trying to raise awareness of it just over a year ago, and we've just rebranded as a charity. They've been actually running for 30 years, but have been a very quiet charity. And we're trying to have everything up and built and finished by November 2016. So the Lord Mayor has just taken us on as his charity as well. So it's been very helpful.
Yeah, some people won't be aware that the Royal Belfast Hospital for Sick Children is the main cancer treatment centre for under-16s. The Belfast City Hospital is the main cancer treatment centre for over-16s.
That's right, yes.
And you've got, I suppose, fundraiser after fundraiser that people should keep an eye out for.
We don't do a lot of fundraising ourselves. We're hoping to do a ball in the City Hall, but it's mostly the parents and friends and family of children that actually have been diagnosed with cancer, and not only children that have cancer, children that have blood diseases as well. And that's where most of our funding comes from. We have people running the marathon, doing zip lining, abseiling down the Europa this month. So it's just people come up with different ideas and raise the money themselves.
Jacqueline, thanks for reminding us. It's important to raise awareness, indeed, throughout the year, but especially during this month when the spotlight is on the issue. Thanks for the call, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's so many relevant topics to this. Indeed, here's another. Let me just play you this, because you often hear us talking about Operation Purple. It all ties in, indeed, with the care for children who are facing life-limiting illnesses.
The seventh instalment is almost upon us, and this year it's bigger than ever. Operation Purple for the Northern Ireland Hospice, Episode 7. For the past 6 years, U105 listeners have raised an incredible £650,000 for this amazing charity. And this year, we have four fantastic events for you to get involved with and raise vital funds to help fit out the new NI Hospice at Somerton Road. Part 1, the Big Coffee Break on Thursday the 1st of October. Part 2, the Twilight Glow Walk on Friday the 2nd. Part 3, the Mile of Pounds Family Fun Day at Stormont on Saturday the 3rd. And Part 4, Heroes for Hospice, our biggest ever superhero and movie character exhibition at the Icon Centre Balmoral Showgrounds. Operation Purple, Episode 7. Stay tuned for more details or check U105 and the Northern Ireland Hospice on Facebook.
Well, you may be helping more adult patients with that one, but my goodness me, whichever charity you're supporting, whether it be one that really directly helps children with cancer, or in this case, the Somerton Road Hospice, or any of the other hospices around the country that need your support, it is important to keep them all in mind.